connects nationals and internationals.
Radio for Brainport.
The opening of the academic year is always a highlight for the university. On the supervisory board of the university, Peter Benning, but also the CEO of ASML, and therefore certainly someone whose voice we like to hear at the opening of an academic year. And to take some quote from your story today, you said, "I'm concerned." Last year it was, university should grow 2 times, should go 4 times. This year you said, "I'm concerned because of all the things happening." How should I interpret that? Locally, on how to run the company ASML, on how to be strong in Europe, or on the things happening geopolitically?
Yeah, I think the theme of this year was the let's say earnings power of the Netherlands and Europe. And I think what I said last year, we still need to grow. I still believe that because we need talent. I think we made that also clear. So that's still valid. But I think the big societal transitions. It's not only climate change or the energy transition, it's also the digitization, the aging population. It's everything that we need in terms of innovation on material technology, life sciences. There's huge transitions ongoing. And I think globally, I see socioeconomic blocks, call it countries. It's not always countries, sometimes it's more than that. They realize this. They realize that the value generation that comes out of these solutions for these big transitions, that value generation could be significant. Yeah, and if you're the first mover, yeah, you get you reap the benefits first. Yeah, and we already see that. I mean, when you look at the digitization, big tech in the U.S., you know, they are leading the digitalization. Yeah, and the battery technology in China, just like the solar panel technology, is the best. They're also leading this. Yeah? And so we need to organize ourselves to make sure that we innovate in such a way that we can also capture part of that value by being smarter, by working together better. It is all about collaboration between industry, the academia, and government.
And then Eindhoven is a nice place to be, to innovate together with the university. On the other hand, I can imagine that there is some tension on knowledge is very critical for ASML.
Yeah.
We hear all these things in the news. That makes it hard to do open innovation. But how? What will you want to get from the university? Just talent or research results?
Open innovation, but you have to be careful about what you're open at. I mean, we need hundreds of thousands of parts in our machine. Not everything is super critical, but when it becomes super critical and it becomes a key technology, then you box it in. Yeah, you just make sure that only relevant people that should be in the know are in the know. Yeah, so we have stopped being naive on that point. Yeah, and I think we and also it needs to be true for the university also. We need to open innovate. Yeah, but we need to make sure that we dissect, we compartmentalize knowledge. Yeah, so that because what we do, we're a system integrator. Yeah, so you need to have all the ingredients to make the system work. Yeah, little pieces can be super interesting, very innovative, but doesn't create the entire system.
You mentioned you are a system integrator. When I read on LinkedIn all the facts from ASML, how accurate mirrors are being polished, the quality of the vacuum, those are very important aspects.
Yeah.
Or is it just a way of putting it all together and knowing how to do that?
That's the whole point. Yeah, you have to realize that many of our suppliers are world-class in what they do because nobody asked of them the kind of specifications that we do. You know, there's nobody on the planet that wants mirrors to be polished to let's say picometers accuracy. Nobody needs that. Yeah? So it's specific knowledge. The same is true for some other elements in the machine. And you need to look at an EUV machine as like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, when you're between Christmas and New Year, we make jigsaw puzzles at home. We buy 1,000 to 2,000 piece jigsaw puzzle. We throw the pieces on the table, and we use the box. The box basically gives the picture. So we know when you look at a blue piece of the jigsaw puzzle, you know it's the sky. So you know where it fits. Now, and imagine this, 300,000 or so jigsaw puzzle pieces. and you throw it on the table, and I own 20,000, you own 10,000, he owns 5,000, and we go on and on and on, 300,000. But there's no box. Yeah. So where is the context? Yeah? And this is what we do. We're system integrators. Yeah? We are system architect. We have the specific knowledge where the pieces fit. Yeah? And there is no, you cannot download on our internet an image of the box. It's not there. Yeah? So that makes it almost impossible to say, you know, I'm going to replicate an EUV machine. Because you need to go to Zeiss, to VDL, to Trumpf, to Berliner Glas, to whether, like, you can go on and on. Yeah? Because what we ask from our suppliers is what nobody asks. Yeah?
Putting that all together requires a lot of knowledge. I can imagine that it also makes sense to have knowledge on optics, on lasers, and so on. Still, your focus is very much on this region. You like this university. I can also imagine that you just hire students from all over the world because they bring together a lot of other knowledge. And then they come to Eindhoven, they come to Veldhoven.
And that happens. I mean, we have more than 120 nationalities in Veldhoven. But of all the international students coming off the Technical University in Eindhoven, 65% stays in the region. A lot of them work at ASML. So, yes, I mean, having access to talent, to the best talent on the planet is critical. And knock on wood, we've still been able to attract a lot of good talent. Even last year, you know, close to 10,000 people. Yeah? With 200,000 applications, yeah, you still have a choice. Yeah,
and that growth is tremendous.
Yeah,
that means a responsibility in the region. I heard you say today at the opening of the academic year, it is industry has responsibilities.
Absolutely,
a good company has a responsibility, even if for productivity of the employees. That almost sounds like Philips when they started, when Brabant was like the potato eaters painted by Van Gogh, and Philips changed that.
Yeah, we are not paternalistic in that sense, you know. We have this this saying, you know, other people should do what they're best at, you know. Never should do something that other people are, you know, better at. So when we do this, we support, you know, whether it's infrastructure or talent or, you know, housing. We are closely, collaborating with the government, with academia, to say, okay, what can we do together? Yeah, we're not driving this. We're not that paternalistic. It's not this time. You know, this is not this time. And you know, it's about collaboration. Let's take the university. You know, we're going to put our research center here. Yeah, that's state-of-the-art clean room, state-of-the-art equipment, where we have collaboration models and you know, projects where we use master students, PhDs, to actually work together with our people to find new solutions on laser technology, optics, and this is exactly what we need to do. You know,
it's an interesting story together. The BBC once called your company a relatively obscure company from this region.
Yeah.
Certainly not obscure, because in geopolitics it's all over the place, but if I started to look in scientific literature and patent literature, it may have been a somewhat obscure company, because that openness is something which for me is relatively new.
Yeah, but you know, if you think about the, we have unique and exclusive relationship with our key suppliers. So it's not only our patent portfolio, it's their patent portfolio. So when you have to look at the patent portfolio for the entire machine, it's massive, it's huge. Yeah? So from a patent portfolio point of view, from an innovation point of view, it's extremely important that we have this collaboration model, yeah, and where we have a very clear distinction between roles and responsibilities, and we're the system architect. That's critical. Yeah?
You also mentioned about a vision. Apparently, you have a vision where you want to be with ASML worldwide, but there are also visions on having international students teaching in English, attracting international talent, all the housing problems for internationals. Do you have a message to The Hague?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a constant message to The Hague. In the infrastructure fund, we were very successful. We got 1 billion euros, and 600 million comes out of the local governments and from industry. Basically, business is going to contribute to infrastructure. Now, where is industry paying for roads and for public transportation? That's relatively new. We do the same for talent, and we're definitely going now. We're in close discussions with the local government, with the housing organization, to say, okay, what can we do to support you guys in faster building more homes? Is it money? Is it helping you to reduce the enormous backlog in terms of permits? And what is it? Yeah? Can we actually help to go faster? Yeah? And this is our responsibility. I said it earlier. A responsible company wants a responsible society where people have a job, have a decent roof over their head, can put food on the table. Every child can go to a good school. There's medical care for everybody, and there's safety. Physical safety, digital safety, climate safety. We have all these ingredients to a more or lesser extent. Nothing's perfect. Yeah? Then people go to work and don't need to worry about these things. Yeah? They are more productive. Yeah? They are more creative. Yeah? So it's that's very important. We need to realize that we're an integral part of society. Yeah? Yeah.
You take responsibility. Now you talk about the Dutch situation. Worldwide, there is also responsibility. You are calling for a vision. Will ASML change the world in terms of climate change?
No, I think it's not only climate change. There are these huge, unprecedented transitions. The digitalization is an unprecedented transition. You know, just like the climate change, but also the aging population around the globe. How are we going to take care of the older people? Yeah, how are we going to increase productivity while elderly people are basically falling off the productivity roadmap because they're too old? Yeah, how are we going to deal with that? That's a task and a challenge that we all have. With ASML, it's not specific to ASML. We have business across the globe and will ship to every customer across the globe. But it is important that here we stop being complacent. Yeah? Like the welfare state that we know is there in the most minds of most people, has always been there and will be there. Trust me, there's so much competition out there. They're competing for this value. We, after World War II, with the help of the Americans, we created a lot of technology which we exported across the globe, that created value for us. Well, if we're not smart on this, somebody else will create that value, and we will import it. Yeah? And that's, do we want that? Yeah? Or do we want to stay relevant? Yeah?
So you describe that also, where we may or may not be driving in Chinese cars, and where our life is controlled and known by the big tech in the United States. These are still places where we want to play globally, but you also said deglobalization is a fact.
That's also a fact. You know, and because of the, and especially in, when you look at these big transitions and what is needed to create value, value can translate into business activity, into jobs, to create this responsible society. All these transitions actually are in need of these solutions. Yeah, so I think it's obvious that we need to do something different than what we do today. And that means that we need a government that has a very clear focus on the priorities. Yeah, and they're not 20, five. Yeah, and you can say that's exactly what I said. It's the energy transition. It's the climate change. It's the aging population. It's the digitalization. Let's focus and let's look at this from a system point of view. Yeah, don't look at the wind energy as a solution or solar panels, or look at the entire system. How do we generate green electrons? How do we distribute it? How smartly do we do that with all the volatility in the supply and the demand? These are the things that are really important, and we need to find solutions for this. And this is new. So this is why we need this collaboration with academia. Because here, you saw this in the presentation here. These kids, when they pass by, I thought, well, they're 16. But I mean, they're smart kids, They think out of the box. Yeah, we need that collaboration. But then, if you have a great idea, work with industry to industrialize this. Because you might have a great idea, but many startups fail because they don't think about industrialization. It's not robust. Yeah. We need that connection. And the governments need to have a very clear view, rules and regulations, not only money, but rules and regulations. You have to create platforms that are incentivized to work together. Yeah? Business and academia, with the facilitating support of the government.
And that's a very interesting story from someone on the supervisory board of the university, but also the CEO of one of the, let's say, most valuable companies in the world, located right here at a very festive moment with all the music from the students with the opening of the academic year. Thank you very much for your story.
You're welcome.
Design, lifestyle, technology and innovation. More on podcasts for Brainport.